Hello, my fellow believers, my fellow angel besties. I hope you all are all having a wonderful day, turning to God first thing in the morning so you can have a great start to your day. My name is Loren, here on Sip Bittersweet Tea, where I chit-chat about all the bitter tea in our lives and how sweet it is to know that we have the Holy Spirit to add to our tea. Before I start this episode, I first want to give some background about myself, who I am, and where I am in my faith journey, and how long I have been on this faith journey. So I'm 24 years old. I didn't grow up with a faith. I remember praying like at a really young age. And no one ever really told me about God or that he was my father, that I could pray to him. I just kind of sort of knew. And that's how God works. He gives you signs. He lets you know that his presence is there and very real. And, you know, like the love that he has for us is just so apparent and so evident in our lives, even at a young age. And it's not always the case, but for me, it's how it was. And it was truly amazing that I was blessed with it, without even knowing him. So yeah, I was truly truly blessed. And I feel like I have gone back on my faith so many times. And I have that question for myself a lot. Like, why do I go back so much? Like, go back and forth in my faith? And I wanted to raise this because I feel for me, I have been... Recently, I've been really reconnected, and I feel like a lot of the times Christians go back and forth in their faith, and even when like you find God at a really young age, it's really hard, you know, to stay consistent with worldly things going on, whether it's puberty or high school drama, and your friends are just not the best influences, and, you know, it's just worldly things and worldly matters that keep us away from God, keep us away from the Word, keep us away from being true to ourselves, and what should we really be doing, what kind of path we should be walking, who we should be following, what proper guidance. So, yeah, I really wanted to raise it, and... since I've been so heavily reconnected with Jesus, I can finally answer it myself. I was saved twice because I didn't feel God's presence. I didn't feel his presence because I never remained constant. I was never really obedient. And the first time I got saved, I was young in high school. You know, teenagers, they don't really want to remain obedient to anyone, teachers, their friends, their parents. I mean, if you grow up in a Christian household, maybe that's different. But because I wasn't, it was, you know, it was definitely hard. I had no proper guidance. And my mom was the only one raising me. So she was doing it alone. She wasn't there all the time because it was just her. She was working all the time. So, in high school, was the first time that I got saved, and I was going to parties. I was constantly worried about filling that part of my heart that could have been filled whole if I were more obedient to God and remained in the Word. But, you know, I followed the wrong crowd. I got heavily addicted to weed, and, you know, like... Growing up, my mom was like, you can get addicted to weed. And because I was smoking at the time, I was like, no, that's so dumb. Like, you don't know what you're talking about. But my mom is a recovering addict. And I definitely know that she knew where she was coming from. So she had the best intentions for me when it came to things like that. But yeah, I was heavily addicted, involved with weed, alcohol, boys, and nothing was working. Then I wanted to be saved again, and I still chose drugs and boys. And this time around, I was reading Bible plans, but I wasn't reading the gospel. I wasn't waking up every morning and the first thing on my mind was, I need to read the Bible in order for my day to go well, or I need to read the Bible in order for, you know, like my life to align with what God wants for my life. I wasn't hearing him because my Bible was closed. I wasn't hearing him because I wasn't obedient to him. I was obedient to weed and boys and alcohol and parties and what everybody thought about me. And I believe Bible plans are beautiful, but you have to coincide Bible plans with the Bible. And because it's not enough to give your heart what it needs to heal, or the wisdom of actually knowing God, you know. And all I was doing for years was quick fixes where I would manage to slap a Band-Aid on my heart. And I needed answers right then and there. I needed to see him, and I definitely had times where I would feel him. I felt his presence when I would go on mission trips with my youth group growing up. And, you know, like, I feel like because God is so present, because everyone there is a believer and they're just wanting and needing him and worshiping him, is he's so present. And it's just, you walk into that room, you're instantly filled with God's love. But once I left, like, he wasn't there anymore. And I mean, he was definitely there, but I would come back from these mission trips and I'm just like, okay, well, I have a party to go to tonight, or my boyfriend, blah, blah, blah. It's just, you know, everything was much more important, and I didn't set aside a time for him. And within those mission trips, those youth mission trips, like, you set aside that time, you read the word, you are in fellowship with each other, and you get home and either you stick with it or you become so, you know, you become so involved with everything that was happening in your life before that mission trip. And you know, he just becomes on the back burner. And that's, I don't know, I think that's where I went wrong. I just became very selfish and self-involved, and my faith just wasn't there anymore. And I needed answers right then and there. I needed him, and I definitely had times where I would feel him, but it wasn't all the time. And I, like any other person, find it hard to remain constant. You know, like in any aspect of life, remaining constant is such a meticulous activity. And I'm just not a patient person, if I'm being real. Like, if I feel stuck in life, if I feel there is no growth on my part, because I know as much as the next believer, the Lord has come through time and time again. But when it comes to faith, you're relying on what you're feeling, knowing the Bible. But if you don't know the Bible, where is the faith coming from? You can't see this person. You can't really hear him if you're not looking to hear anything. I mean, you're not always going to hear him talk to you. You're going to, you know, like, see signs. And like, I mean, I get these things where if I'm praying about something, especially now since I'm so reconnected, I'm praying about something or something's going on in my life and I see it on Instagram or I see it in the Bible now, and I'm just like, wow, he was really there the whole time. And I was just so busy worrying about everything else where I couldn't hear him, I couldn't see him, I couldn't feel him, and it was just, it was a very scary thing. just not having faith, not having that guidance in your life is just, it's scary. You feel like you're really alone. And I'm here to say, like, you're not alone. And sometimes what we want doesn't happen in our time, and that's just how it is. It doesn't happen in the way we want it, and it doesn't happen when we want it, or it doesn't happen at all because something better is along the way. But we don't know it, and we don't see the plans. We have to have that faith. Like, we don't see God. We have to have that faith. Having faith is extremely hard. But with grace for ourselves and patience, we are able to do the impossible. I had absolutely no patience. And I still don't most days. And I'm learning that. But it's because I'm human. I'm allowed to have those mistakes of, I'm not going to be perfect. Like, no one is except for him, except for the Lord. And I want to create an episode on the importance of patience, as well as how we can manage to get the calm Jesus' love will place into our hearts. But for now, I want to just barely touch on being patient is hard. But like, reading the Bible and remaining constant in our faith is by creating habits. Creating habits to become more patient is mindfulness and understanding ourselves and our thoughts and how to control our thoughts and feelings. And that's what's frustrating. I don't know exactly what I'm feeling. I grew up in a household with just my mom. After my siblings grew up, and we have like a 10-year age gap, so it wasn't long before they were out of the house, where she was so busy with work. She drove me to school and then would just go to work, and then I had to go to an after school program. So I didn't have much, like, I couldn't really process my feelings with my friends, just because I needed that nurturing. And without my mom, and without knowing that there was someone else, there was the Holy Spirit waiting for me to come to him, to come to talk, to lay down my burdens and process my emotions. I'm unable to really know what I'm feeling. And so I get frustrated, and I get upset and angry, and I'm just bawling my eyes out. I mean, if you ask my husband, he's just like, I didn't say anything wrong. And no, he didn't. He's amazing. And it's just, it's really hard for me to, I mean, it was really hard for me to process my emotions or to know exactly what I was feeling. I didn't have that opportunity to open up. And now that I have a faith where I'm reconnected with Jesus, I'm able to process my emotions, you know. I'm able to know, like, what I need and how I feel. I mean, it takes me a little bit to get there, but at least I can pray about it now and trust him and lean on him for the strength. Because I was leaning on my own strength for so long, and does that get me anywhere? No. No. I waited for things to be handed to me. I was spoiled as a kid, again, single mother. She needed me to, you know, like, be on my best behavior, but she couldn't always be there. So when she would get home, I would act like everything's fine. I grew up with depression and anxiety, and I just felt so alone. And she would feel really guilty for not being there, so I was really spoiled. So, I mean, of course, like, I would just expect, like, things to be handed to me, especially with God. So if I didn't get it right away, it was like, is he really listening? Because if he's not, then why am I believing? Why do I have a faith? Why am I going to church? And when I asked for these things, I lost hope. And only after a few weeks where there's people out there, you know, who are praying constantly for weeks and months and years. And I would give up on God and abandon him after just a few weeks. Like, come on, girl. Like, when we feel we have been abandoned or forgotten, we tend to return to the things that are comfortable. And like I said before, I was selfish. Selfish enough to stay in my mental illnesses, keeping the depression at bay and the devil waiting at the loading dock. Which, according to DuraRamp.com, a bay is the general area of a facility. A loading dock is the actual platform to which a truck or a vehicle connects to in order to unload. And the devil is there waiting to unload more when I was just wanting to move forward, when I felt like I have finally made progress, but I'm still vulnerable, but I'm still naive. And the devil will be ready to unload more onto me, onto anyone, onto you, when you're learning how to stand again. I know I feel most comfortable when I can lay in bed for hours and hours, and I bet you feel the same way. But I'll feel guilty about it later, and I'll tear myself down about it while laying down alongside calling myself names, because it's harder to remain constant in our faith. Like, it's so hard to remain constant in my faith. I think for anyone. And it's harder to keep ourselves from sinking back into our negative emotions, which, you know from experience, can be a river that is so deep from all of the years of the tears that you wasted. Wasted or not, they're there. And I let everything get to me. Isaiah 43:18-19, ESV says, "Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." He will always make a way if we just give him the time of day that he deserves. Otherwise, we're lost. We don't have our light, and God is our light. And I was not only overly sensitive, but when someone was mean to me, I chose to let it affect me for days, mentally and emotionally, physically and spiritually. I would persuade myself into quote-unquote hating someone and judging them, because it is so much easier to do that than to love them and to understand that they are only human too and have just as many emotions as I do. I have been blessed to have been brought to church in high school, and I didn't grow up with God in my house, like I said. My mom was always spiritual, knowing and loving most religions. She picked and chose what she liked and didn't like from every religion or belief, including Buddhism, astrology, Christianity. And in high school, being introduced to God was a blessing in disguise. When my friend wanted me to go with her to youth group, and I was just like, yeah, girl, I'm down. Like, I have nothing better to do. I'm smoking weed. I am just hanging out with my boyfriend and just wasting time, and I'm failing all my classes, but let's go, girl. Let's go. I need something to change. And I didn't know it at the time, but that was God's way of saying, like, you are only 14. You need to come with me. I am saving you. I am picking you up from the side of the road where your boyfriend or the drugs are going to end up leaving you. I am picking you up now. I had already been through so much childhood trauma, and I was battling with severe depression and anxiety only as a 14-year-old girl. Like, come on. Most people do. And if you know what I'm talking about, I'm so sorry. Mental health is, it's crippling. Especially if you're letting the devil win. You're letting the depression win. The anxiety win. That's why most people who are battling those things, they commit suicide. I was thinking about it so much as a 14-year-old girl. I had no business. And I grew up. I had to basically force myself to grow up. You know, I had to raise myself because my mom wasn't around. But how am I supposed to teach myself about the devil, about God? Like, how am I supposed to teach myself these things if I'm in the middle of a storm? How am I able to tell that storm that God is stronger than the storm? How was I supposed to do it? So I am so thankful to that friend that told me about the youth group to go and learn about God. I had a hard time loving myself. So of course, I had an even harder time learning to love others. And I grew up with the phrase, treat others how you would like to be treated. I had such a hard time with that because I felt like I couldn't love myself. So how am I supposed to love on others? I'm not happy. How am I supposed to be happy and treat others with kindness? There was hatred and jealousy and anger and all the worldly things and emotions harvested in my heart. For example, how am I supposed to sit there as someone is being rude to me and I lean on my own strength and my own understanding? 9 times out of 10, I was rude back because it was out of the habit that I had to continue to choose because it was easier. You already have the bad habit in you. You know this. You do it time and time again. But it's easier. It's comfortable. It's selfish. Who cares? You know? You're in that. So be it. You're in that. Someone wants to be rude to you. It's just, it's terrible. But learning and understanding Jesus' love. The saying that I heard growing up is slightly changed from treat others how you would like to be treated to don't only treat others, but love others no matter what. John 15:9-12 says, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments, you will abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. And not only is that beautifully written, but like imagine if you were just sitting there with Jesus as he is saying this, we would never have a shred of doubt and keep going back on our faith in him. And he said that to his disciples, you only believe me because you see me. And I will love the people in the future who are choosing to believe me without even seeing me. And that's just verbatim. It's not word by word. You know, that's what faith is. It's easy to dismiss something when you can't see something, you know, out of sight, out of mind. But with Jesus, you can feel him through the Holy Spirit, which lives within each and every one of us. And it's so beautiful to know that we are not alone and that we were loved so much, we were given a part of him to keep forever. John 14:15-17. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I never was good with confrontation or drama either, which was a good thing, but I could never stick up for myself when it comes to my love for Jesus. And that's also how my faith failed. I was just a people pleaser. If someone had to say something about it, I wouldn't argue my part or explain my part. I would just, you know what? You're right. What am I thinking? I'm crazy. Christians are crazy. Christians, like, of course they are, you know? But that is the beauty of God's love. You know, I still kind of am a people pleaser, and it's terrible, you know, but I mean, my faith is healthy, it's strong, it's there. If someone asks about it, yeah, I'm busting out my Bible and I am reading you a verse if you need it, because we all need Jesus. It's a terrible trait of mine, and it's something I really want to unlearn, especially now since I am trying to please God and remain consistent in my faith. And that's another thing. Once you're a people pleaser, you no longer belong to the Lord. He will always be your Father, but you're doing everything in your power to belong to the world. Make it make sense. Come on, girl. Lean on your own strength and understanding, or someone or something else, like drugs, men or women. Like, you don't want to be consumed by the world. It will consume you. The devil will try anything to get you to not have faith, to get you to lose sight of where you're going in the world, and you will end up dying. He wants that. Romans 12:2. ESV, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. John 17:14 says, and the world hates them because they do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. And it's so powerful, because with all the miracles, the Pharisees chose not to believe him. The Jewish leaders, they all believed that he was false, that he was lying, that it was just, no, people can see the good in someone, the Christian in someone, and not want that because the devil's persuading them. The devil's keeping them from, you know, peace and calm and love. Galatians 1:4. Who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father. How could I or anyone really dismiss the peace that God is willing to give us? Because he loves us. He sent his one and only son, Jesus, down to pay the ultimate sacrifice to die for our sins. And we're still like, we need more, please. Like, are you kidding me? He knew about how evil and cruel the world is and how much it can be to deal with all on our own. He asks us for obedience and to give ourselves some grace because he forgives us. Like, I don't know what I was thinking when I heard this, besides being skeptical and not understanding how faith works. And before I actually had a spiritual awakening, as well as countless experiences, that I could say, that's not enough for me to believe still. Or, I am not deserving. So, I better just start doing drugs again, because I'm not worthy of a love that great. Like, it sounds so silly that I used to think like that, that I used to say things like that. It's silly. But I wanted love from different areas of life. I wanted that affection and attention I could have been receiving this whole entire time by our Father, by our Lord and Savior. And it's never too late. To rest your burdens, because I know you're tired of carrying them around. I was tired. As a 14-year-old little girl, I was tired. 15, 16, 17, I was so tired. And God knew I was tired. When I went to the mental hospital the first time, I was tired. After the attempt of suicide, I was so tired. And he knew it. I was tired of carrying around the drugs and the lies and the trauma from childhood, relationships, and whatever I have been carrying around, whatever you have been carrying around with you. God will never say it is too late to love you, or that you're too broken, or whatever it is society tells you, or that you tell yourself when you first wake up, and the last thing you tell yourself before you go to sleep. It's not too late, and he's still going to love you. He's still going to forgive you. And I want to speak on behalf of most of, if not all humans, and that's easier to revert back to our old ways. It is. It's comfortable. Why not? Just, it might be better this time around because I know what not to do. But you're still doing it, so how is it not any different? My mom used to say that all the time, like, doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. That's insanity. When I was saved twice, I took advantage of it, because if I actually remained obedient to God by reading the gospel, I would have had to face all of the years of guilt from partying, boys, weed, alcohol, sneaking out. I know God forgives me. Did I forgive myself? No. That's why I kept doing it. I took advantage of the fact that he forgave me. Said, oh, you forgave me? Oh, I can sin again. Like, come on. How many times did I have to tell myself that before I thought, that's just wrong if I continue to live a complete separate life from God, but claim that I am a Christian? Especially when I would claim I had sinned and asked for forgiveness, but then went on to sin still. It's, make it make sense. That's insane. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. If I had just let Christ renew my mind and not remain in my old mind and old ways of thinking, I would have become anew. 2 Peter 2:20 through 22. If they have escaped the corruption of the world by knowing our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and are again entangled in it and overcome, they are worse off at the end than they were at the beginning. It would have been better for them not to have known it and then turn their backs on the sacred command that was passed on to them. Of them, the proverbs are true. A dog returns to its vomit, and a sow that is washed returns to her wallowing in the mud. It was known we would return to our old selves. Even if you are saved, you can turn away from that salvation, especially when you have been living your life full of sin. Because believe it or not, sin is fun. And I heard that in a podcast, and I'm going to use it again. It was Ali Yost, or Yost. Ali, I'm so sorry, girl. Ali Yost. She said sin is fun. Heck yeah, it is. It's temptation from the devil. He's gonna make it seem like it's okay, you know? He's like, yeah, you could take a sip of alcohol. You got it under control, girl. But if you're with the wrong set of people who are not Christian, or if you're in the wrong environment, or whatever it may be, you are going to end up so wasted. Or like driving in a car with someone who is way too drunk, or you get behind the wheel, and you are going to end up with consequences that you should have never had to deal with. I've had to do that so many times. I didn't have to, but I did. Did I want to get into a car with someone who was way too drunk? No, but I needed to get home because I was only 16. Did I do it again? Probably. Do I regret it? Yeah. I could have died. I wouldn't have been able to experience motherhood or being married, or, you know, like, my mom would have been so devastated, and I'm her baby. Sin is supposed to be tempting, and sometimes we lose our strength because we're dependent on our own strength when we don't have God. But to lose it time and time again is like, come on, girl, really? Still, even when you have all of these blessings, you still want to go cheat death or steal, lie to God, or whatever it may be, you know? Even knowing how great God is, it is easy to walk away from his message, his purpose for us, because of the world. Whether we associate with a lot of people who genuinely don't believe in Jesus, or our hearts are so broken and we want to keep the burden for ourselves and we rely on our own strength, we're going to remain in sin, or we're going to remain depressed or anxious because we don't want to burden someone else. We don't want to burden the one, God, our Savior. Like, I'm just like, come on. Like, the whole podcast, come on. We as humans are not strong enough to keep going on our own. We just get led astray, like, time and time again. We will end up on the wrong path. Or we just won't even, like, walk down a path. We'll just stop. Either we go backwards, we go a different route, which is sin, or we just stop dead in our tracks. And there's an imbalance. We don't want to be held accountable for our own actions, so we keep living in sin. Or some of us turn to God so we may live more responsibly and live in peace and unity with not only ourselves and others, but with God. It isn't easy. But nothing worth our whole life should come easy. And if it does, it's either one of two things. It's a miracle and a blessing from God, or it's a deception from the enemy. And it took me until recently to put it all together on my own. And sometimes it might take a couple of times, you know? I have spent so many years wanting God and needing him, but I lacked patience, and I would seek out immediate answers. And I want to spend an episode where I used to, you know, like, do the whole tarot card thing and watch YouTube videos of these white witches and psychics telling me what he was saying,
because I wasn't listening, because I wasn't opening the book. I just needed immediate answers. Is God listening or not? I was choosing to run from my faith without even realizing it. I was even inviting in the most evil, demonic things in my life because I was so impatient. And it is written time and time again in the Bible that people years and years ago were making the same mistake of finding out about God and his love, but going back to their past self and it getting worse for them. Every single time. I chose not to remain constant in my obedience to Jesus. I fell harder the second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, 100th time. However many times it took me to get to where I am right now. And I am proud of where I am right now. And if you're listening to this podcast, you should be proud. Because I am proud of you. And it may not be today, but eventually it will strike a nerve that will help you see God. And I am proud of you for even listening. I love you all so much. Thank you for tuning in. And I hope from the bottom of my heart, of all the people that follow me on Instagram, if you have any comments or suggestions or even questions, please, please come to me. I am not an expert. I am simply a human, a flawed Christian who has fallen from her own grace, from God's He's always loved me. Faith and all of that. I've fallen so many times. And everybody makes mistakes. Everybody has those days. Thank you.